This is a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord. The gospel be in our mind, on our lips, and in our hearts.
Jesus said to his disciples, "If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won over your brother. If he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, so that every fact may be established on the testimony of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell the whole church. If he refuses to listen even to the church, then treat him as you would a Gentile or a tax collector. And then I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Amen, amen, I say to you, if two of you agree on earth about anything for which they are to pray, it shall be granted to them by my heavenly Father. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Words of this gospel wipe away our sins.
Well, good morning. Over the summer, my preaching assignments have been very fortunate. You know, Father gives us, he says, okay, you do this week, you do, you know, Ben, you do that week, you know, that kind of thing. And then you go and look up the readings and like, what am I talking about? And I've been very fortunate because all my readings and what I have shared with you have been about the kingdom of God, which is the only thing that Jesus was really all about. This was the message. This is the headline. And it's very good for me because it causes me to wrestle with it, do some research, pray with the scriptures to prepare to give you a little something. And as I explained to you a while ago, all my sermons are to me, you're just listening to me try to fix this mess here. You're kind of like my therapist. You sit there and go, tell me more about that. So that's what, just so we're all clear how this works. And I've been very fortunate to be able to spend some time really praying and thinking about the concept and the teachings of Jesus on the kingdom of God. Because everything Jesus said or did, everything in the gospel, was either to announce, explain, or demonstrate, like the things he did, the nature of the kingdom of God to which he's inviting us to join. Now, in today's gospel, the Lord highlights one aspect of living in the kingdom, and that is summarized in the phrase, admonishing the sinner. It's the third spiritual work of mercy. Works of mercy, there are two kinds of works of mercy. One is mercy towards the body. So these are things we can do to help people physically. They're called the corporal, the bodily works of mercy. Feed the hungry, clothe the naked, all that stuff, right? From Matthew 25, the final exam. What he's going to ask you on the test to see if you get to come into the kingdom. He doesn't ask, are you going to church? He's going to ask the church move you to do something, such as feed the hungry, clothe the naked, visit the imprisoned, this kind of stuff. So this is what we're up against. And I'm getting old, so I'm cramming now. I don't know, maybe some of you got more time, but I'm burning the midnight oil on this stuff. And so they're two short lists. And they're kind of a portable mission statement. They're really not kind of, they are. This is what I'm going to be judged on. Hello, you have my attention, right? And it's what we are called, all of us who are baptized, to live by each day. So they are worth, the works of mercy are worth memorizing and praying with frequently. And to that end, I had Father, it was very nice, and he put a copy of them for you in the bulletin so you can take them home and really ponder them. And if you don't know, like admonish the sinner, what does that mean, admonish? Well, Google it. It'll come up. Trust me, I already did. So you can just Google it and get the sense if there's something you're not clear on. And you know, one of the interesting things, I've been doing this for a long time, and Of all the many churches I've ever been into, and I've been in a lot, there is only one church I've ever been in that has the corporal and spiritual works of mercy displayed up here in the sanctuary so that everybody could see it. And that's St. Columba's up the road. I've never seen that anywhere. And I thought, the first time I saw it, I just said, okay, these people get it. This is great. And you know, when I go to Mass, you don't ever see me here at 9:30 unless I'm preaching because it's Sunday. I don't do it. Of course, they see me for the 8 o'clock Mass up there, which is, I'm not even convinced God's awake at 8 o'clock on Sunday. It's his day of rest, too. It's in the book. I'm not making that up. And I always wonder about it because, you know, it was the Last Supper, not the last breakfast. But, you know, somehow we're all here first thing in the morning. But, so I'm an 11 o'clock Mass kind of person with my family. And so I'm often up there, not here. And when I'm there, I see those things, the works of mercy in front of me. And every week I go through them and say, when's the last time I did that one? You know? Or bear wrongs patiently, and I look over at my loving bride of 46 years, and I say, hi, honey. And, okay, I got that one done. What else you got? And I say, well, gee, you haven't fed the hungry in a while. You know? It's like, okay. So you go home and write a check to the soup kitchen. Well, that's what you do. I mean, you can't do everything, but you can support the people that are doing the various works of mercy. So they are there for us to use because they are the mission statement. So just so you know, when they make me Pope, every parish is going to have the works of mercy. See, I can put one on this. You got a nice wall there, a nice wall there. If anybody has any influence with the pastor, you might want to mention. You could put. But, you know, it's kind of like going to an AA meeting. They got the 12 steps, you know. It's not like, okay, what are we here for? And those things are not like, well, that's what we have for the feely, touchy, crunchy, hippie members of the congregation. That's the program. The works of mercy. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So our first reading makes us aware that we're responsible to admonish the sinner. Admonish means to gently correct. There's no high horse involved. All right? Correct those who are going wrong. Then he tells us that we are responsible for warning them again gently. Now they are responsible, fortunately, the good news, you know, there's good news and bad news. The bad news is, I'm going to answer to God for this, right here, right? I don't got to answer to God for anybody else. That's the good news. So you gently correct someone, you warn them, and what they do with it, that's on them. That's not on you. You did your job. That's what the readings are saying. Because we're all baptized, priest, prophet, and king. Well, when are you going to start profiting? When are you going to be a prophet? This is the prophet saying, no, no, that's not God's way. Don't do that. You don't have to give a sermon. You say, oh, that's not cool. Don't do that. What are you thinking about? That's it. Use your influence. You can. And Jesus tells us to do it with love because he says you're a brother. It's a love relationship. It's not a judge. It's a brother. Now, it doesn't say to correct the women, so... because they're generally going to correct us. That's their job. And we are to offer our opinion as privately as possible, not hang someone out publicly. Now, those of us who are more prideful will mistakenly correct someone in public harshly, you know, thinking that's their job. It is not. That is the opposite of what Jesus is saying. And that's generally because those people's humility is real shallow. They haven't caught on to themselves that they don't realize that we all live in glass houses. So be careful with the stones, right? So after the gentle warning, the next thing is let it go. Do not nag. It is not said you're going to nag. You tell them, you let it go. It's on them. And then it says, and there's no threat involved. And what it says to do is treat them like a Gentile or a tax collector. Which, you remember, Matthew is a Jewish church, and that would just mean you just let them go. Well, you don't worry. No one's worrying. You know, the Gentiles and the tax collectors, they're doing whatever. God's going to know, you're leaving to God, basically, to work with. So this is part of our daily witness, admonishing the sinner. Our daily witness as missionary disciples of the kingdom. Now, admonishing the sinner is brilliant. It's God's plan to thwart evil. And there is tremendous evil in this world, for any of you who occasionally look at the news, right? And there is no system ever devised, including our own, as we are living through now nationally, that can protect us from everything. You can't set up laws, norms, whatever you've got. Someone is going to break them. So what can you do? Well, Jesus says, I'm going to set up a gazillion little circuit breakers. See, that's us. My dad was an electrician. That's why you're getting this analogy. Circuit breakers. So when evil comes around, it can't get too far because it's going to run into you and you're going to go, no, no, not happening. I'm not doing that. You shouldn't either. That shuts down a lot of stuff before it gets going that we don't even hear about it because it gets shut down so quickly. And some people, you know, like the Pope, he's got a big circuit. He's got a lot to answer for. Good luck to him. God bless him. You know, he's got the whole world, the whole church. And this poor bugger over here, he's got to answer for all of us. This is his circuit. This guy over here on my left, he's got a big circuit. But we all got a circuit. Maybe a small circuit of friends and family and colleagues. We all have a circuit of people that we have a love relationship with or friendship with that we are responsible to gently admonish when things are starting to go off the rails. Try to bring them back. Try to stop the evil before the damage happens. And for this, we will all answer to God, which is what the reading from Ezekiel told us. So we encourage the good. We refuse to participate in evil, right? Do good, avoid evil. That's the basic program. And we encourage and advise others to do the same. Do good and avoid evil. And lastly, we are ready, our baptized selves are ready to pay the price. Because this will not make you popular, telling someone they're wrong, no matter how privately or lovingly you do it. Right? This is what's called taking up your cross. Understand, I know you got a bellyache. I got a hangnail that's killing me. Whatever. Atheists have hangnails and bellyaches. That is not the cross. The cross is when you and I take a hit because we're with Jesus. That if we were to say, well, later Jesus, I'm out, and didn't worry about any of this stuff or doing stuff, you would never get the blowback, for example, from correcting somebody. That's your cross. Take it up. It's the price you pay for the gospel to move God's plan in the world along. So that's imitating Jesus in that. So in short, we do not go with the flow. I'm wrapping it up. We do not go with the flow because the flow only goes down. This is admonishing the sinner. This is what it means, back to the kingdom, to live in the kingdom right now. This is one of the things we do. This is how you live in the kingdom now. And certainly we know that if we don't choose to live in the kingdom now, we certainly will not be admitted to the kingdom later.